To Never Found, Never Forgotten. I'm your host, Melanie, and today's episode is going to be a little bit different. I'm going to revisit the cases I covered in seasons 1 and 2 and provide any update if I could find one. So this was inspired by my own frustration with podcasts where I listen to a podcast and there's not an update unless something like huge has happened, like they've caught a killer or something. Unless the creator is releasing an update for a case, I generally don't know what's been happening in the case. And usually creators don't release updates unless it's a huge update. But I was awake in the middle of the night. This idea came to me about doing sort of an update episode, and I thought, why not? So here we are. So let's revisit seasons 1 and 2. Season 1 was such a long time ago. Our very first episode was Jason Jolkowski, missing from Omaha, Nebraska. June 2021 marked the 20-year anniversary since Jason was last seen after taking out the trash from his home. So his family planned a memorial event at a skateboard park in their community. There is a tree and a plaque there dedicated for Jason. At this memorial, attendees were invited to paint rocks to hide later with the hashtag #FindJasonJ to help spread awareness and keep people aware and keep an eye out for any clues. So no updates or investigative leads in Jason Jolkowski's case, but his family is working really hard to keep his name and picture out there. So be sure to take a look at the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children's photo of Jason and the age progression that they've done. Asha Degree was our second episode of season 1. In November of 2020, Marcus Mellon, a prisoner at the Alexander Correctional Institute, sent a letter to a newspaper claiming that he knew what happened to 9-year-old Asha Degree. In the letter, he claimed that Asha was killed and he knew where her remains could be located. Mellon is serving a 14-year sentence after being convicted of sex crimes against children in 2014. I have mixed feelings about inmates writing letters like to the newspapers and stuff. Like, they often have ulterior motives for writing these types of letters. Usually, you know, it could be bargaining for leniency, preferential treatment, whatever it is. A lot of times it's not truthful. The Cleveland County Sheriff said that the lead would be followed up on. There were delays due to a COVID-19 outbreak at the prison where Mellon was housed. The FBI reported that they still received tips in Asha's case. Last year alone, they received 45 tips, all of which are investigated. So the sheriff said that they treat every tip as good information until it's proven otherwise. The next case that we did was that of Jaleek Rainwalker. There are not many major updates in this case, but that Crime Junkie podcast covered this, his disappearance, in an episode early in the year. Crime Junkie is one of the podcasts that got me started listening to podcasts, and one of the hosts, Britt Prawat, is not only an adopted child, but she has fostered and adopted 2 children of her own. So Jaleek's case was really important to her, and Jaleek is a 12-year-old boy missing from Greenwich, New York. Bryce LaPisa was, and still is, probably one of the cases that has left me with so many unanswered questions and leaves me so confused and so frustrated to this day. I sincerely think that this is going to be one of the cases that we see solved soon. And by soon, I don't mean like today, tomorrow, this week, this month. I just mean, you know, in my lifetime, maybe there will be some sort of conclusion to this case. We'll know what happened. In April 2020, police in Sonora, California were distributing Bryce's photo and information after someone reported seeing someone matching Bryce's description in the Sonora area, possibly among the homeless community. And it doesn't seem like anything has come from this potential sighting, but to me, this seems like a really plausible lead. I think that this might be one of those cases where Bryce is out there somewhere, and it's just going to take someone at the right time recognizing him, not only recognizing him, but saying something. The next case that we have updates on is that of Logan Schendelman. Again, this is not an investigative lead, but the family of Logan participated in a honk and wave event in April of 2020 to bring awareness. Because of COVID-19, honk and waves were kind of like things for like birthday parties and celebrations, but they were also used to raise awareness for different causes. And this event also featured other missing and murdered people in the area and their families, including that of 20-year-old Matthew Anfeld, who went missing in February of 2019 after police responded to a grocery store to reports of him acting erratically and claiming someone had killed his family and someone was after him. Also, this event also included the family of Karen Bodine, who was found dead at the entrance to a gravel pit in January of 2007. Autopsy ruled that strangulation was her cause of death. These families have worked together to create this event to raise awareness for their loved ones and keep attention on their cases. So I encourage you to check out Matthew Anfeld and Karen Bodine and look into if you have any information on those cases as well. Elaine Park is a 20-year-old actress and musician missing from Malibu, California. Since we covered her case, the To Live and Die in LA podcast by Neil Strauss also covered her disappearance. In To Live and Die in LA, they make a case that Elaine's mom, Susan Park, killed her daughter. Their theory posits that Susan had taken a life insurance policy out on her daughter and her gambling debts were motive behind the alleged murder. However, an online news source called The Local Malibu raises some pretty good questions with the To Live and Die in LA theories. They even suggest that Susan Park passed a polygraph test. The Local Malibu describes themselves as an activist and truth-seeking platform to report major news of the Malibu community. Some people have questioned the journalism of The Local Malibu, but others have pointed out that Neil Strauss has some somewhat questionable character too. So I urge you to check out the links to The Local Malibu show notes and check out the To Live and Die in LA podcast and come to your own conclusions. In the disappearance of Kelsey Schelling, a pregnant woman who went missing in January of 2013, her partner, Dante Lucas, was found guilty of first-degree murder in March of 2021. This case was rare in that it's one of those murder cases without a body that we've discussed several times on this podcast. The defense counsel argued that without a body, there was no DNA linking Lucas to the murder of Kelsey. The jury deliberated, though, for under 3 hours before delivering their verdict. Lucas was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. In July of this year, a park bench was dedicated to Kelsey and her unborn child. Both of Kelsey's parents said that despite the outcome of the trial, they just want to bring their daughter home. there have been some major updates in the case of 18-year-old Caleb Deal missing from Texas. When I originally told Caleb's story, there was a person of interest in his disappearance, Ricky Dale Howard. He was arrested in February of this year and charged with sexual exploitation of a minor. A computer that was seized in a 2017 investigation was sent to a North Texas forensics lab, and it was discovered that it contained over 300 images of child pornography. There was also a laptop seized in 2018, and images found on that laptop contain images of Caleb between the ages of 13 and 15. In these images, Howard created pornographic images of a minor and distributed them. On July 21st, 2021, Howard pled guilty in federal court to sexual exploitation of a child involving child pornography. He faces 15 to 30 years in prison and fines up to $250,000. Unfortunately, this doesn't answer the question of where is Caleb. Ricky Dale Howard is the last known person to see Caleb Deal before he disappeared. And that update is absolutely heart-wrenching, and my heart breaks for Caleb and his family and what Caleb had to go through. In April of 2021, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children released an age-progressed photo of Martin Roberts on the five-year anniversary of his disappearance. So if you haven't seen it already, please check the link in the show notes, Google it, and take a look. It's been 5 years since Martin was last seen walking away from his college campus and never heard from again. Please check out the age progressed photo. Keep that in the back of your mind when you're out and about. In another update that is not really an investigative lead, the family of Kiara Coles, a missing 27-year-old postal worker, announced in June of this year that they are increasing the award for information to $45,000. So please, please, please look at Kiara's picture. Anyone with information, please, please come forward. One of our final episodes of season two was that of missing and murdered Indigenous women, and that involved several cases. There have been no investigative leads or updates in those particular cases. However, as you learned in one of our recent episodes, there has been some progress made on the issue of missing and murdered Indigenous women across the country. In Montana, where Ashley Loring Heavy Runner was from, Governor Greg Gianforte signed a bill addressing the issues of missing and murdered Indigenous people in the state, and he cited statistics that showed that Native Americans make up just 7% of Montana's population, but make up 26% of their missing persons cases. In the case of Rosalita Longhi from Washington State and Janice Hannigan from Washington State, the Washington State Patrol has started releasing a list of active cases of missing Indigenous people every 2 weeks. And they have seen a decrease in number of cases on that list as the cases are cleared from the list. Tribal governments have attributed this to public awareness, and I think it really shows that public awareness campaigns work. Making the public aware first of the issue of missing and murdered Indigenous women is huge, and then just sharing their names, sharing their pictures, getting that information out there, we see that it's helping to clear that list. In all of these cases and the cases that I was unable to provide updates on, I just want to reiterate that someone out there knows something. I have to believe that someone out there knows something. They saw something that didn't seem right. They have a gut feeling. They heard something that may have seemed like a rumor that just isn't sitting right with them. There's something, and someone out there can unlock these cases. You may think that you don't have the key. You may think the information you have is trivial, but that's for law enforcement to decide. That's their job. Let them make that determination. By coming forward and sharing the information, someone out there can help so many devastated families. Even if you think the information is trivial, it doesn't matter. Let the police decide that. That's what they do. That's their job. But they need the public. They need the public's help to share the information they know. That is my episode, my special update episode. I hope you enjoyed hearing a little bit about what's happening in these cases. Again, check out the links in the show notes if you want to know more about any of these cases. I encourage you to take a look at some of those age progress photos and just keep your eye open. Thanks so much for listening. Thank you again so much for your support. Again, you can find us on Facebook, Never Found, Never Forgotten Pod, and on Twitter, @PodNever. Thanks so much. Bye.